the truth of the Sabbath was spreading too slowly for the doughty sea captain Joseph Bates, and in 1846 he decided to do something about it.
How do, Brother Bates? What brings you out so early?
Morning, Brother Gurney. I have something I'd like your opinion on. I don't want to interrupt your blacksmithing, though.
Well, that's all right. I'm just making single-tree hooks and rings for Cy Rollins' milk wagon, and that can wait a minute or two.
Well, then, it's about the Sabbath. The word isn't spreading fast enough to suit me.
Well, you've convinced me and most of the other Adventists around New Bedford and Fairhaven.
Yeah, but not my own wife.
I'll continue to pray for her.
Thank you. In the meantime, I'm planning to write a tract about the seventh-day Sabbath.
Sounds like a fine idea to me. So, what's the problem?
Well, it takes money to print and distribute a tract. I have but one lonesome York shilling to my name.
Well, that's hardly enough to buy pens and ink. I wish I could help you, but I don't have any hard cash either.
Neither does anyone else in these hard times.
Well, what'll you do?
Do? I'll write the tract. The Lord will provide, brother. The Lord will provide.
Joseph, I must talk to you. Can you stop writing for a moment and listen?
Of course, Prudy, my dear. Listen, how's this for the title of my tract?
Joseph, I don't have enough flour to make out the baking.
Well, how much do you lack?
About 4 pounds.
All right, my dear. I'll go straightway and buy some.
Joseph, where did this flour come from?
Why, isn't there enough? You said you needed 4 pounds.
Have you, Captain Bates, a man who sails vessels out of New Bedford to all parts of the world, been out and bought only 4 pounds of flour?
I couldn't buy more. I spent for this food the last money I had on earth.
Oh, Joseph, what are we going to do?
I'm going to write a tract and spread the Sabbath truth before the world.
But what are we going to live on?
The Lord will open the way.
Oh, the Lord will open the way. That's what you always say.
The Lord will open the way. In the meantime, I'll write. Let's see. In Daniel... I have the strongest feeling that I should go down to the post office. Now, why would... Well, so be it.
Well, howdy, Captain Bates. I'm glad you dropped in. I have a letter for you. Here it is. There's 5 cents postage due on it.
Mr. Drew, I don't have 5 cents.
No matter. Take it along and pay me for it some other time.
No, sir. I won't take the letter until the postage is paid.
But it might be important.
I'm of the opinion that there's money in that letter. Would you please open it? And if there's money there, take out the postage first.
Well, all right. Well, looky here. A $10 bill.
Uh-huh.
And there's a note, too. Here.
Dear Captain Bates, today, as I rose from my bed, I had the strangest feeling that you were in great need of money. I hasten to send you this $10 with the hope that it will help you over present difficulties.
Oh, will there be anything else, Captain Bates?
No, that'll be all. When you deliver these things, the woman of the house will probably say they don't belong there.
Well, what should I do with this stuff, then?
Pay her no mind, and unload the goods on the front porch. I'll explain when I get home. Mr. Lindsay, in a few weeks, I'll bring a manuscript to be printed in pamphlet form.
Well, that's fine, Captain Bates.
However, I don't have the money at this time to pay, but I'm sure that enough will be coming to me. Well, I'll pay it as it comes in.
Oh, your credit's good with me, Captain.
No, no. The tract won't be mine until I've paid in full.
Joseph, where did all that stuff come from? I told the drayman it didn't belong here, but he unloaded it anyway.
Well, I guess that's all right.
But where did it all come from?
The Lord sent it.
The Lord sent it. That's what you always say.
Here, my dear Prudy, read this.
Oh, Joseph, please forgive me for doubting. The Lord does find a way.
Money came in from various sources to help Elder Bates pay for his pamphlets. But when it came time to take delivery, he was still about $100 short.
Oh, that's all right, Captain. I trust you. Go ahead and take your tracts with you and pay me later.
No, sir. I won't do that. Let me give you what I have, and I'll be back with the rest of the money as soon as I get it.
Unbeknown to Elder Bates, while he waited, his friend Herman Gurney was having a surprising conversation.
Gurney! Stop there! I want to talk with you.
Mr. Johnson, what can I do for you?
Remember 3 years ago when you quit working for me to go on some trip down south?
Of course. I conducted evangelistic meetings there with Elder Bates. I remember the trip quite well. And the fact that you wouldn't pay me my back wages.
Yes, I'm ashamed of the way I treated you. Claiming your leaving so abruptly would do $100 worth of damage to the business. It was wrong of me.
Thank you for the apology.
See here, Gurney, you know I really do owe you that $100, and I'm going to pay you right now.
Why, thank you, Mr. Johnson. Now, this is providential money. I should do something special with this.
I know.
I'm glad you came in, Captain Bates. I have your pamphlets all boxed and ready to go.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lindsay. I just came in to tell you I can't take them yet. Oh. I don't have the money.
Never you mind. That last $100 has been paid. The books are yours.
Well, but who paid for them?
Can't say. He was a complete stranger to me.
The Lord does find a way. He really does.
As a result of reading this pamphlet and studying the texts, my husband, James White, and I began to keep the Seventh-day Sabbath. On April 3rd, 1847, we were gathered with our friends, the Stockbridge Howland family, and others, to worship on the true Sabbath.
And the Seventh-day Sabbath is surely a test of our loyalty to our Savior. It is the law writ by the very hand of God on the tablets of stone. This law of God, in centuries past, was ousted by some who professed to a knowledge greater than that of our Creator.
Oh, glory. Glory. Glory.
Oh, catch Ellen. She's fainting.
No, Brother Howland. Leave her alone. Ellen's going into vision.
Look, she's beginning to walk around the room, but she isn't breathing.
What's the matter?
She has to breathe.
We've got to do something.
Please, don't worry. This is what always happens. See, her color's good, and her pulse is regular. Her eyes are open. They're gazing into a place where we can't go.
She might hurt herself gesturing and sweeping her arms that way. Let me try to...
Oh.
She's rigid. I'm a strong man, but I can't move her arms.
Yet her movements are as free and graceful as those of a gazelle.
I think Ellen's coming out of the vision. Put a chair near her.
Dark. Everything is so dark.
Is she blinded?
No. It's just that she's lost sight of the heavenly light. Her strength and eyesight are gone for the moment, but they'll return in a while.
James.
Yes, my dear.
I've seen the tablets of the commandments. Jesus himself showed them to me. As the Lord opened the ark in the most holy place of the sanctuary, I saw the tablets of Moses, closed together like a book.
Closed?
Yes. Jesus opened them, and I saw the Ten Commandments written on them. There were four on one side and six on the other.
What a privilege to see Jesus.
The four on the first table were brighter than the rest, but the fourth commandment shone brighter than them all.
The Sabbath commandment?
Yes. The Sabbath was set aside to be kept in honor of God's holy name. Oh, it was glorious. A halo of glory was all around it.
Soon after accepting the seventh-day Sabbath, I was rebaptized by my husband. The Sabbath truth had been clearly established by scripture study. It had been confirmed through vision. Everything was now in place for the third angel's message to be given around the world.